Live from Houston, Texas, the humidity capital of the world, it's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Hey, guys. We're back. It is Tuesday. Terrific Tuesday, isn't it? It's terrific because, first of all, we have this terrific show for you, but also my very first guest is the terrific Dr. Linda McCarthy. She's a regular contributor. She's an expert in the area of health and wellness. Dr. Linda McCarthy has a PhD in metaphysical counseling and is a board-certified life strategies coach with the American Association of Drugless Practitioners. I don't know about you, but that always thrills me to say, drugless practitioners. She's a member of the American Holistic Medical Association and a co-author of the best-selling book, The Wellness Code. Linda McCarthy, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be back.
All right. Well, I always enjoy having you here. It's what do you call it? I think the energy here in the studio, as well as across our audience, tends to lift up quite a bit when you show up. So it's always fun to have you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So let's talk about this. You talk about life law on the last show, but there are some other ones that listeners might find helpful that we just didn't get a chance to explore last time. So let's talk a little bit more about some of these life laws.
Absolutely. Let's get started because this is going to be loaded with so much information. I hope I can get it all in. So on the last show, we talked about how we teach people how to treat us.
Right.
And this week's lesson is there is no reality. There's only perception. So let me repeat that because it's really important. There's no reality. There's only perception. And the life strategy is this. Identify the filters in which you see your life. Because in doing that, you can acknowledge your history, but your history won't control you. You know, we talked in previous shows about perception.
Right.
And any experience that we have in our life is only our perception of that experience. In fact, Bert, you remember the story I told you about the sunset? And I said I was sitting outside, and I saw it as beautiful. And my neighbor saw it as pollution. And he said, well, remember that? And he said, well, it's the pollution that's creating the colors. Well, it was the same view. The only difference was our lens of perception.
Right.
His reality was different than my reality. And we've all heard the saying, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Well, that's just another way of saying you perceive what you believe. And the great thing about choosing your perception is that at any time, you can quickly and easily change that from a negative to a positive. Because we all view life through filters. Those filters influence how we're going to respond to an event. But if you're continually looking in the past because that's the filter you're using, then the past events in your life are going to control you instead of you managing your life. You can't go back and change those events, but what you can do is change the filter. It's just about choices. You choose the reaction and whatever value or meaning you give to that situation, and that's your choice. But just remember, your body on a cellular level is reacting to that decision.
Gotcha. You know what? And I find that, you know, when I'm thinking about the guy that looked at this gorgeous sunset, and Arizona has some gorgeous sunsets. The only other place that I found that has sunsets that are as gorgeous as Arizona would be Hawaii. Those are the only two places
That's
where
great.
You see these beautiful purples and orange and just these wonderful, wonderful sunsets and sunrises. But anyway, bottom line is, here's a guy who says, oh, this is being caused by pollution. And you're right, he had that kind of a negative filter on, right? When you say he was looking at everything through a negative perception.
Exactly.
And, you know, he's probably, what I find interesting about his comment is, first of all, it says a lot about him. Second of all, he's probably not an expert. He's probably not a scientific expert to be able to even make that kind of statement. But yet, because of his negative filter, his perception there, he just spouted out whatever came to his head, and you know that that's probably something that's constantly right there on the surface, that he's always being skeptical or negative about everything that happens.
Right, and it does. It affects your body.
Right.
It has to. There is no other. That's a law. That's a law of nature. So if you're going to stay in that state of negativity, then your body is going to react according.
Now, one of the things that you say is you change your perception, you change your filter. Walk me through this. How do we go about doing this?
Okay. So like anything else that we own that has a filter, if you don't change it, it's going to get clogged up, right?
Right.
And so it can't do the job it's designed to do. Well, the same theory applies to our life. See, filters are really nothing more than a bunch of mixed beliefs. Many of them are negative, and that's why it's sabotaging your thinking. And you may not even be aware of it until right now. And why is this important? It's important because if you treat these beliefs as facts, then it's going to inhibit or clog your ability to move forward and make changes in your life. In fact, I'll often ask my clients this question, especially when they're projecting negative future situations. I'll say to them, do you know that what you're saying is the absolute truth? And then they'll say things like, well, I think, and I'm like, nope, nope, nope. Do you know that what you're saying is the absolute truth? And most of the time, their answer is no. So what I do is I change their filter. I take out the old one, and I install a new one, changing the way they're viewing the situation. They reframe it differently. So instead of jumping to predict the future or continually reliving the past, they're only focused on their ability to control their reaction to whatever situation arises, because truly, that's all we have control over anyway. And once you realize that, your stress level is going to drop, and you might even think about removing a mask or two.
I love it. You know what, when you just said that, you know, removing a mask or two, you know, right there, that could be a completely, different hour right there.
Yes.
Because, you know, we all have our different masks. We have them for business. We have them for social events. We have them for spiritual events. We have them for, relationships. You know, we have all these different masks. All right, let me ask you a favor. Since you brought up the mask thing, go into a little bit more detail about what masks are and how they affect us.
Sure. Okay, so since we're limited on time, I'm going to talk about probably the five most basic masks. Okay.
Okay.
So have you heard somebody say, or maybe you said it, I know I have, I don't even know who I am anymore. Well, that's because we've been taught to morph into whatever we think somebody else wants us to be in order to meet their expectations. So I want to just hit these five basic ones and how we use them in our everyday life. So first is the avoidance mask, and that's pretty self-explanatory. It's self-protection.
Right.
Avoid pain at all costs. And then there's the functional mask. That's the one you wear when you walk out the door. So you appear that you're in control, even if your daughter calls and says, hey, guess what, I just got my belly button pierced. Okay, you are feeling all those emotions inside you, but you can hide behind this functional mask, at least until you get home. And then there's the people pleaser. That was the one that I loved to wear. I wore that one all the time because I wanted everybody to like me. And by doing that, see, they were less likely to criticize me.
But
sure. It was exhausting to wear that because I kept shoving my emotions down until I just couldn't do it anymore. I was affected physically and emotionally, and what happened is I ended up becoming very resentful, and I started blaming other people for my inability to speak up. So it was a painful but necessary mask for me to remove. And the last two are the angry mask. These are people that look mad all the time, but really they're just protecting themselves. They don't want to be vulnerable, and it looks far more powerful to be angry than to be hurt or sad. And then finally, there's the happy mask. This is another way of just protecting yourself. Behave as if you're happy all the time, because nobody will know when your feelings are hurt, and nothing gets you down. And that was the mask that my beautiful friend Laurel wore. I wrote about her in the Wellness Code. I never saw her angry, and it just boggled my mind, but the reality was that happy mask became permanent for her, and it took a major toll on her body and, unfortunately, her life.
Wow. It's just you know, it's amazing to me, you know, that what do you call it? That first of all, we do wear these masks, and second of all, you know, they can ultimately destroy us. I mean, your example of being frustrated and unhappy because you're trying to be the people pleaser, and then your friend who never shared her true emotions, you know.
Exactly.
I'm assuming passed away?
Yeah, she did. Yes, she did. She died of cancer. And in a book by Louise Hay, who is a wonderful, she's got a library of books, but one of the things that she said about cancer was that it represents something eating you up inside. And when I had an opportunity to sit down and talk to Laurel before she died, she had been holding on to anger for over 30 years.
Wow.
But the thing was, she didn't want to upset the apple cart, so to speak. You know, she didn't want to bring it up. She didn't want. So she thought, well, you know, if I just keep it stuffed down, it'll go away. But it didn't go away. It just kept eating away and eating away at her. And at the end, she just said, she exploded. And I said, where has this Laurel been? Where have you been in all the years that I've known you? And that really was the catalyst for me changing my whole life, changing the way I worked. I went back to school. I got my degrees because I wanted to understand this. And she really was the catalyst for what I'm doing right now.
Wow. So her legacy goes on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what? And like I said, we could really spend so much time on these masks. I mean, you mentioned just five of them, and each of these we could probably spend easily an hour on. You know, I think that, you know, and I'd like your take on this, being that you are a woman. Do you feel that sometimes women wear the people-pleaser mask a bit too much? It's almost embedded in our society?
I think it depends on how you're raised. I think if you're raised with a stronger sense, and again, it has nothing to, I'm not blaming, I'm not putting blame on anybody, but I think if you're raised that way, then that's how you're going to be. I do think women are far more forgiving. But it's not necessarily, I think in the workplace now, I'm seeing where women can be, they don't need to be masked as masculine. You know, we kind of went from one extreme to another. So we went from, you know, the Betty Crocker kind of mentality to I am woman, hear me roar.
Right.
And I'm going to take on the world. And it's like, now we're coming back to a happy medium. And it's like, you can be powerful, but you don't have to be masculine to do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that you're right. The pendulum has swung from one extreme to the other. Now, like you said, it's kind of balancing there. I think that, first of all, women are not quite being seen as equals, but I think they've made great strides in that area, and they're certainly, at least here in America, and as well as in Europe, England and so on, you're seeing that women are very much running companies and are accepted in every function of business culture. And it's no longer about putting your hair up in a tight bun and looking like some cranky old librarian. You can be fully present in your womanhood, for lack of better terms.
Absolutely.
And still
yeah.
run the company.
You can, well, they're running countries now, not just companies.
Countries, thank
they're
you.
Running
That's
countries.
Right. That's right. Oh, my goodness. Well, cool, man. I'd like to have you come back and talk more about some of these masks. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely, because I do. I have some great tips. So next show, we can talk about some of the tips to, remove these masks and how to move forward.
I love it. I love it. Hey, and if someone was ready to remove these masks, what's the best website to get a hold of you?
It's www.newdirectioncoaching.com. And they can actually, if they go there and they sign up for my newsletter, I'll give you a free copy of my chapter of the Wellness Code, which includes the story about Laurel, and it's called Your Wish Is My Command, and they can get a better idea. So
I love it. I love it. All right, Dr. Linda McCarthy, thank you so much for stopping by. Always fun, always enlightening, always great energy.
Thank you. Until next time.
All righty, guys. Check her out at newdirectioncoaching.com. Dr. Linda McCarthy, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
You bet. Guys, we're off and running. Great stuff there by regular contributor Dr. Linda McCarthy. Again, check her out at newdirectioncoaching.com. We'll talk to you later.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.